Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
¡Esa soy yo!
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
We talked about William Morgan's abduction and death.
Mm-hmm.
What a convoluted, troubling story.
Yeah, yeah.
I read in one of the admittedly anti-Masonic accounts, and I don't remember which one, but it really stuck with me and I found myself thinking about it for a couple of days. An interesting note on how Freemasonry became so popular in the U.S. and it's in particularly as the country was being founded and even during colonial era, that this idea that people were leaving England to start a new place where everyone would be equal and they could get out from under an aristocracy where it was like birthright gave you power, then set up a secret society that gave you power and kind of replicated a lot of those same things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
And we should also note, like, I am not an expert on Freemasonry. It comes up a lot in historical stuff.
Yeah, we've mentioned it so many times.
There was a big shift where it went from being an organization, my understanding, about knowledge and whatnot. Then in the late 18th century, one particular dude kind of came in and added a lot of mysticism to it and mm-hmm. made it more like secret society. Like it became a lot more intensely about secrets and separation from the normal world. And that's a big point where things really start to spiral in directions that are unhealthy. You know, today there are still Freemasons. It's much more like an organization of people, you know, trying to better themselves. It has, my understanding, again, I'm not an expert, two branches, one that still keeps to the more Christian ideology of it and one that has been stripped of the specifics of one religion.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also women now. So just in case anyone's like, hey,
yeah,
I know a Freemason and they're lovely. I'm not calling anybody a nefarious criminal.
I feel like there's a prior episode of the show where we've sort of talked about an almost fad for the establishment of secret societies.
Yeah.
And I'm hard pressed to remember which episode that was.
I think it's been several, right?
Yeah.
I think the Crowley episode probably touched on it a little.
I think that might be what I'm thinking of.
Madame Blavatsky touched on that stuff too. Like, there's
like a lot of them, like, are at their core basically like fraternal organizations or like almost mutual aid associations, but with this added element of like secrecy and some degree of mysticism. And there's just a lot.
Right. And the thing is, there's a lot because there's an appeal to that, right?
Right.
It, like, gives people a sense of belonging to something that is both bigger than themselves, but also that is not accessible to everyone. So, like, not only is there a sense of belonging, but there's a sense of, like, betterness.
Right.
Whether you're consciously drawn to that or not. Like, that's part of it. It's like, I'm part of something you can't be a part of.
Yeah.
That's intoxicating.
Right. There's that. And then there's also the fact that, like, in a lot of these organizations, like, there is an actual important community role.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, just recall from my memory old episodes. And I think it was in our interview about the Green Book, I think the full title was the Negro Motorists Green Book, which was like a publication of places that it was safe for Black travelers to stay and get a meal at a restaurant and that kind of stuff in the days of more formalized segregation. And talking about how one of the, like the man who largely wrote that book, like one of, he was a member of the Masons and his Masonic connections were one of the ways that he was able to ensure his own safety
right.
while traveling. And again, this is me pulling an old episode from memory. So go listen to that episode rather than like using my actual, my like little synopsis I have tried to create right there.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the other things I wanted to talk about, and you brought it up at the end of the second episode, is the victim-blaming nature of a lot of the coverage of
it. There's a whole lot of sense of like, well, if he hadn't written that book, wouldn't have got murdered.
Well, and there's also this thing that I refer to that happens in various cultures and communities as sick chicken syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Which I call it that because if you've ever had chickens in large numbers, which I grew up with, if one of them is sick, in some cases, the other chickens will peck it to death.
Oh, yeah.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
But like, even in fairly benign executions of this kind of mentality, like almost any social group will often develop the one outcast. And it's like they become united in disliking that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he was already on this path
mm-hmm.
before he was like, I'm going to expose your secrets, which again, those aren't really very secret. Nobody cares how you shake hands. I don't. I mean, maybe somebody does, but like, I think that's part of why it became so intense and escalated so quickly is like, not only is it a person who's gonna tell our secrets, it's a person we already didn't like.
Right.
And like, it goes from 0 to 60 in a shockingly short period of time. That whole thing, like as a study in groupthink and like the way that crowds can rile themselves up
mm-hmm.
is fascinating to me. Terrifying.
Sure.
And fascinating. I really am fascinated by the insistence that he lived in Turkey and was teaching English there. That is a weird one that came up again and again and again.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the hint, we never explicitly said so while we were telling this story, but the hint has always been, as people have looked at this bigger picture, that like these were stories concocted by the Masons of this area to discredit the idea that he had been murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Because who's going to fact check that he's sitting somewhere in, you know, Smyrna, Turkey,
right,
going by a different name? You know, that's impossible for most people. Like, it was not within the means of most people to be like, oh, I'm going to get in touch with my friend there. and so, you know, if so, it's kind of an ingenious way to cover your tracks, I guess.
Right.
Again, at a time when that would have been like, well, this respected guy said that he's there. That must be true. He's not dead. I know the truth. That is the other part of it, right? Is that there's the secret society element that gives people a sense of belonging in this story, but there is also the element of I have figured out the real truth, which is a whole other type of groupthink that happens mm-hmm. in like conspiracy theory groups. And it's all in play in this one wild story, which I just find super interesting. I think that's part of why I was so compelled by it. Like,
yeah,
when I stumbled upon that first 1881, we found the body of this man who was killed by Masons. And we've always, and I'm like, what?
Yeah. I was reminded of the lists of logical fallacies that will circulate around social media sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them being the no true Scotsman fallacy, which is the idea that like no true Scotsman would do blotty, blotty, blah,
right.
because Scotsmen don't do that in this fallacy. And so it was like this idea that like no Freemasons would ever do this.
Upstanding citizens all.
Right.
Yeah, it's a this brings us to that 1882 article that we talked about that was in the New York Times regarding the monument. And obviously, the person writing that article
mm-hmm.
thinks that the anti-Mason movement is jerkery.
Mm-hmm.
But also the way that they support that argument is also kind of insulting to Masons because they're like, you've seen pictures of Freemasons and they all look kind of fat and happy and like lazy and like they couldn't do anything. So surely they couldn't commit a murder. And it's like, do you just hate everybody? I don't.
Right.
You just want to insult all the people.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode. And I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
One other interesting thing that got introduced in a couple of these accounts that I read from the 19th century that were written later on after, you know, decades had passed, a couple of them make the case that the anti-Masonry issue would have continued to stay much more important in the public eye had it not been for the abolitionist movement.
Mm-hmm.
And that as like the Civil War played out and people got more like the bone of contention among the people of the United States was over the issue of slavery, and that like that kind of pushed out this idea of like secret societies, good or bad, being debated anymore because we didn't have time for both. And that was obviously the more pressing issue that led to the conflict. So that was an interesting thing, like this idea that, and some of them even, I think it's Samuel Green that connects the dots in a way that's like, because the slavery issue obscured the Masonry issue, some of these nefarious Masons were able to regroup and reform their societies, and like, we're gonna have another wave. And mm-hmm. I was like, this is fascinating. It's like there's so much otherism coming from both sides,
right,
that I just find myself completely like intrigued from a like I said, a psychological standpoint. I'm just like, this is, it's so much stuff we see all the time today anyway,
mm-hmm.
In playing out in media and on social media, and it's just a different flavor, but it is as vehement as anything we would hear today. And I'm completely intrigued by it. There is so much reading one could do on this topic if you want. There are people who have, you know, put together the entire list of everyone who was ever held to any level of account. We didn't even include them all because there are some where it's like, well, this one guy in one town got, you know, had a minor charge against him, and sometimes those sputter out and sometimes those go to fruition, and there's just a lot, and that becomes a big list of like, and on the court on this day of this person and this particular sheriff who was probably corrupt was also doing the, like, there's a lot
right,
and we already had two episodes, so that's why those all didn't get included. There's so much more. I was surprised by how many modern retellings are still pretty vitriolic about William Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, right? I find myself questioning my own morality in the following way. So many of these people that justified this horrific abduction and probably murder really all do, as we said, the victim blamey thing, but like they seem to think it is so much more dishonorable that someone would break an oath to keep a secret than abduct and kill someone.
Right.
And I'm like, am I
yeah.
morally bankrupt? Because I don't think that's that big a deal. Like, yeah. I also had I kept questioning myself and changing the use of the words kidnapping versus abduction.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because you could, on a technicality, make either case, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was abducted. Nobody made...
There was no ransom.
Ransom, but they did try to get his wife to turn over whatever pieces of manuscript she had with the promise that she would get to see him
mm-hmm.
and presumably have him returned. So it kind of is a kidnapping, but kind of it's not. And I debated and did several find and replaces and then undid yeah. and kept doing that throughout working on it. And so both words creep in.
Yeah. I also don't remember when federal laws were passed about kidnapping, because I know it's come up on the show before that like we would have defined this as kidnapping, but that was not a legal
right
term yet, and right. I don't remember exactly when that happened.
Yeah Will we ever know the real? No, probably not at this point, but maybe. One never knows. Older mysteries have been solved. I mean, this one's only a couple hundred years old, right? If this is your weekend coming up, I hope you don't feel compelled to solve mysteries unless that's something very fun for you and it happens in a very benign, gentle, and safe way. If you don't have time off, I hope you still have a great weekend and that you get some bit of rest and relaxation in, that everybody's cool to each other, and that, you know, nobody feels compelled to do anything bad to anybody else. This is my wish, but it will never come true, it seems. We will be right back here tomorrow with a classic episode, and then on Monday we'll have another new one.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buena, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita Liliana Montenegro,
esa soy yo,
play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.